let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 34. The book of Psalms, chapter 34. Several months ago, I began a rather in-depth personal study from the Word of God on the subject of brokenness. Folks, the self-life is the sum total of all that is about me. But you know what I've discovered? God wants to bring me to the end of myself. The reason is because it's often at the end of myself that I experience a new beginning with God. You can study it all through the Scriptures. God bringing people to the end of themselves, becoming as nothing so that He could be everything. They were emptied that they might be filled. Well, in my study, I got onto the subject of tears. And for several days, I just studied the subject of tears in the Scripture. Now, it's going to be my guess that you've not heard a lot of sermons preached on the subject of tears. But folks, here's what I concluded just simply through my own study of the Word of God. Tears, in many ways, are the testimony of the heart. Tears are often an indicator of what's going on the heart level in our lives. I want to speak to you this afternoon for a little while on the subject of the testimony of tears. We're in Psalm chapter 34, and I want to read for you verse number 18. The Bible says this: "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." Now, we are well acquainted with a verse like James chapter 4, verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." How is that done? What is it that basically paves the way for this drawing near, this nearness to God? Well, verse 18 makes it very clear that part of that is a broken heart. And then it goes on and says that God saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Folks, let's ask the Lord to speak to us today. And then I want to share with you just really a personal Bible study, but something that God has used to deeply challenge me in the last several weeks. Let's ask the Lord to do that. Father, have your way now as the Word of God is preached. Use it to challenge us, to speak to us, I pray. God, we need hearts that have drawn closer to You. And I pray that You will show us that truth today from Your Word. Speak to us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in August, my wife and I were down in Cantonment, Florida for a 3-day local church prayer encounter weekend. One of the things that we did on Friday night was to spend time in prayer, praying for each other. And the way that we did it was something like this. We had given each person a 3x5 card, and we took some time to ask each person to write down a list of at least 5 things they needed from God. And then we collected them, and then we redistributed them and gave them out, and we went to prayer, each praying for the person whose card we had received. The idea was that then that card would become your prayer reminder for the next week to pray for that person. Just a neat spiritual exercise, really. Well, interestingly enough, that evening I picked up or was given the card of a man in the church by the name of Art. Sunday morning, Art came to the service. And during the day, he gave me a handwritten letter that he had written. I want to read it to you because I believe in some ways Art, in his simple way, portrays maybe what I'm trying to say today. He says this, "Dear Tom, I wanted to share this with you about this morning prayer time." This would have been Sunday morning. The prayer encounter had been Friday and Saturday. He said, "I normally have my prayer and Bible time in the evening, but I was up at 5 a.m. and my wife was still asleep. She usually is also up and we have coffee and chat. So I felt this to be a good time for God and just me." Listen closely to some of the thoughts that this brother shares. "I read Psalm 39 and Psalm 51 and broke out my prayer list that I build on Friday night and Saturday morning in the prayer meetings. I prayed for God to cleanse me and prepare my heart for some serious prayer and concern for my prayer partners and my list of their and my needs. As I prayed," he says, "I felt very connected with God. I was praying for my brethren by name and for my wife. As I was closing, a flood came over me and I started bawling like a baby. I couldn't control it. It probably was only 30 seconds or maybe a minute, but as I closed, I had such a peace, and I believe that God's Spirit and I had really connected. I couldn't get this through verbally because I'd break down and couldn't finish, but I wanted you to know God's Spirit touched me, and I want more. As my prayer partner, I wanted you to know." Folks, that's just a common man in a typical church who met with God. And in his own words, his heart was touched, but it was evidenced by the testimony of tears. Just a couple weeks ago, my wife and I were in a church on the northwest side of Minneapolis. Just a very small church. In fact, I typically spoke each night to 20, 25 people. I started a little series on Monday night that I called Paths to Personal Revival. And Monday night I had spoken on the subject of the path of holiness. And in the message I had laid out three specific steps on the path of holiness. Number one, repent of unconfessed sin. Step number two, resolve any unresolved conflict. Number three, remove any uncontrolled habit dealing with besetting sin. At the end of the message, I had asked the folks to take their personal revival journal and write out specific things God had shown them about these three steps. I gave the invitation. Again, a very small setting, a very kind of low-key, laid-back setting. But when I gave the invitation that night, I watched as people all over the auditorium got up out of their seats and walked down the aisles and got on their knees, weeping. And I remember standing there in the pulpit, just kind of taking in this moment and realizing that all over the front of that church, even though the attendance was small in that meeting, men and women were just on their knees, literally tears just running down their faces. I remember almost thinking to myself, how extraordinary, how unusual. But do you know what I realized? That again, through the preaching of the Word of God, the conviction of the Spirit of God, the hearts of God's people had been touched, and it was evidenced by the testimony of tears. Folks, I have learned this. That which moves me to tears moves me. No, it's not necessarily the tears in and of themselves. It's rather the fact that tears are often a testimony to what is going on in the heart. After that particular Monday night service and the tears that were so evident in the service, I wrote down three things that tears are an evidence of. Here they are. Number one, tears are evident when God touches a heart. Tears, number two, are evident when God tenderizes a heart. And thirdly, tears are evident when God turns a heart. Folks, as I began to think those three thoughts through, I began to be very well aware of the fact that in most of our churches, many of our churches, we have lost our sensitivity to the things that the heart of God is sensitive to. To be quite frank with you, dry-eyed Christianity has become one of the curses of the 21st century. Then as I thought it through, I began to realize that part of the reason why there are so few tears in the house of God is because we have tried to change the atmosphere of the house of God. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I have been in some churches in the last 12 months that were basically the atmosphere of a three-ring circus. I have been in churches where what went on the platform almost reminded you of a comedy club type of a program. I suppose in part it's because we've even come to the place in church ministry, church life, where we've concluded that life is so hard on people for 6 days out of the week. And so when we bring them into the house of God, we've got to loosen them up and we've got to lighten them up and we've created a feel-good atmosphere. And we've got to get up and tell our jokes and we've got to get up and be funny and we've got to get people laughing. But do you know what the tragedy of all of that is? It's an indication that in our hearts, listen very closely, we have become careless and casual and complacent, calloused, and dare I even say comical toward the things of God. Why does it seem so out of the ordinary to read a handwritten letter from a brother who at 5 o'clock in the morning is meeting with God and he's weeping in the presence of God? Why does it seem so out of the ordinary to talk about an invitation where people in God's house under the conviction of sin are weeping? I'll tell you why it's happening, folks. It's because in many cases our hearts have become hardened. We've lost the sensitivity. We've lost the responsiveness to the things of God that ought to be so evident. Oh, we're not just talking about having a big boo-hoo every time we come together. The point is not the tears. The point is what the tears testify of. And that is a heart that has been touched and tenderized and turned toward God. I want you to take your Bibles with me for a few moments this afternoon. I used the term Bible study, and that's what I want to do with you very quickly. I want to take you through the Word of God and highlight a few of the occasions that I found in my study where tears became the testimony of a tender heart. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel as we begin. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're introduced to a woman by the name of Hannah. Hannah was barren. Not only was she suffering the inability as a woman to bear a child, but she was living with the cultural as well as the family curse, as it were, that had been put upon her. And so we have recorded for us the story of her visit to the house of God, starting at verse number 9. The Bible says in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verse number 13 says, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. You go over to verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, she says, out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Folks, here is a lady that is in the house of God praying prayers that are so deeply embedded within her heart that it's impossible for her even to put them into words. John Bunyan said the best prayers are groans. He continued by saying, let your heart be without words rather than your words without heart. Spurgeon said it is groans which cannot be uttered, which are often prayers which cannot be refused. Here is a lady who is in such a business meeting with God, as it were, that she is literally bearing her heart before the Lord. And it's evidenced by her tears. Go with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, I just spoke on this passage last week in a week of meetings. David and his men, the 600 men that had gathered to his assistance, verse 3, returned and came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Look at verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Can you imagine the loss of a place, the loss of the people that were so dear and precious to them? The women and children had only been kidnapped, but it's safe to assume that the men assumed they had been killed. And the tears flow to such a point that the Bible says these men literally dried up their tear ducts. They had wept so hard and so long. Verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord. And the verse says, and he answered him. Just as Hannah had gotten an amazing response from God who remembered her, now we find David connecting with God. He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 20, and we're again going to look at the example of an individual's life and experience, this time a man, a king by the name of Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20. The Bible tells us in verse 1, Hezekiah was sick unto death. I don't have any idea what the illness was, but whatever it was terminal. Prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What a personal crisis. A man is literally entering the valley of the shadow of death, standing at the gate of death. Verse 2, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Verse 3, the last part of the verse says, and Hezekiah wept sore. Here's a man who is deeply troubled by his own state of being. Verse 5, the prophet Isaiah comes with a word from God. And the word from God says, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. You know, when I read that passage, do you know what was the first thing that came to my mind? I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. Isn't it interesting? What was God saying to Hezekiah? I have seen your tears. I have heard your prayers. Was God going to answer the prayer simply because of prayer of tears that were shed? No, God was answering the prayer because of the tender heart that was praying them. Let's move on. 2 Kings chapter 22, just a couple of pages over. Josiah, an 8-year-old boy, becomes the king of Judah. Simply put, his years as king were a time of tremendous reformation in Judah, including the reformation of the house of God, the restoration of the house of God. In the middle of the process, the word of God is found, brought to the king and read. And so we find that a message is sent to Josiah. Chapter 22, verse 19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Folks, let me ask you a simple question. When was the last time when the Word of God so impacted your life that it brought you to tears? Again, it's not the tears that we're in pursuit of. It's what takes place in the heart. Go to the book of Ezra, chapter 10. I'm just going to highlight a couple more examples. Ezra chapter 10, a time of great spiritual depravity, a time of great spiritual crisis. Chapter 10, verse 1, now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very, very sore. Folks, it's interesting because we're going to look at several examples. Ezra, in a moment, Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, then Jeremiah, then Joel. You can just keep going through these. And do you know what you have? You have men whose heart is broken over the need of the nation. Folks, when was the last time you were in a prayer meeting and somebody began to pray for America and was so emotionally overwhelmed that their heart broke and they couldn't even pray their prayers? Do you know what has happened to our Christians? We've almost adopted the talk radio mentality, where we've become very sarcastic. We've become very comical, very humorous, very critical, very condemning. Maybe it's time for the house of God to be filled with the anguish, the weeping, the crying over the need of a nation that today is parked on a dead-end street spiritually. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 4. Nehemiah gets word of the condition in Jerusalem and Judah, gets condition of report of the Jews. Verse 4, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You go over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1, the prophet says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Prophet Joel, let's go there, chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. I promise you, folks, it's in there. If you haven't found it yet, just look intelligently at whatever page you've got and I'll read it. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart and with fasting and weeping and with mourning." Verse number 17, "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord." Folks, where is the place between the porch and the altar? It's the place of the congregation. The place of the congregation. The place where the people come to meet with God. And the challenge from the Lord is, let the people weep. Folks, I get so worked up, I get almost aggravated when I come into a service that we call a worship service or a service that we call a meeting with God, and somebody's got to get up and tell some jokes to get the place loosened up. Folks, there's a place for humor. I understand that. But we are suffering because we have lost the seriousness and the solemnness about the things that move the heart of God. And they no longer move our hearts. I'll give you just a couple more quick examples from the New Testament. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, speaking of the Lord Jesus. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." You know, folks, New York City's a great tourist attraction. All you need to do is just spend a day or two and you can meet people from all over the world who want to come to the city. It's a place of entertainment. It's a place of pleasure. It's a place of wealth. It's also a place of sin. When will we come to the point where we look at the skyline, or we look at the neighborhood, or we look at the housing projects, and we weep? Because our hearts are broken for hundreds and thousands and millions of people within this city who need God. Folks, the examples go on and on and on in Scripture. But I think the point is becoming very, very clear. And the point is simply that tears are a testimony to what is happening in the heart. Our text said the sacrifices of God are, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Robert Murray McShane, the Scottish preacher, said, "The blessings of tomorrow are deposited in the tears of today. Tears are an expression of a wide range of human emotion. We cry when we are happy, sad, penitent, and sorrow. Tears are like a refreshing rain that rejuvenates the landscape with new freshness. A man is what he is on his knees before God and nothing more. Folks, I'm not simply talking today about seeking tears. No, I'm talking about the need for a heart that is sensitive and moved by the things that touch the heart of God. Several weeks ago, in fact, it was right after that week of meetings we had in Minnesota. My wife and I had flown in on a Saturday afternoon. Sunday morning, we got up to go to church. And I can remember driving to church, I said to my wife, I just want to go meet with God today. I had spent a week in ministry. I had preached almost every day that week. Very, very consumed with the intensity of a week of revival meetings. But I said, today I just want to go and personally meet with God. And I remember that Sunday morning, we were singing the beautiful song. In fact, it's one of my favorite hymns, Saved by the Blood. And we came to the chorus, and I was standing there singing with the congregation. We came to that line that says, my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Folks, I had a spiritual meltdown with that line. I was so overwhelmed by emotion that I couldn't even sing the rest of the song. I remember a little later in the service, one of the younger couples in our church was singing a very, very beautiful song. In fact, it's one of the songs that Caleb and Katie sing that I love so well, about the river and the fire and times of testing. And they were singing, and I glanced over to the piano, and the mother of the lady who was singing was playing the piano. She had just been diagnosed with cancer. Again, my heart was touched and the tears filled my eyes. That Sunday morning, our pastor preached a message on the cry of desperation. Again, it so touched my heart and so touched my life. And I remember getting to the end of the service and walking out. I hadn't paid attention to anybody or anything that had gone on that morning other than what God was seeking to do in my life. And I remember leaving that day, not just simply blessed by tears, but blessed by the fact that God had touched and tenderized and turned my heart toward Him. And I walked out that day knowing I had met with God. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be closer to God than I've ever been in my life. I want to draw nigh to God, and I want Him to draw nigh to me. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. That's where I want to live. That's the kind of life I want to live. And I've come to believe scripturally and experientially that tears are an indication that that is happening. What a blessing when your heart becomes sensitive. Somebody said when God squeezes your heart, it leaks out your eyes. It's good. May God deliver us from dry-eyed Christianity. May God deliver us from hard-hearted Christianity.